Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
We're going to get into the Word. I just wanted to play a little, okay? Because what I have is very, like, intense. And so, honestly, it is like, if you know my mom, she has about 4 to 5 pages of notes. Look at my notes. I just want to let you guys know, look at my notes. I don't necessarily pride myself on this. So, I just want you to know if we don't make it through it, I'm okay. We'll pick it up next week, okay? Because I don't want to overwhelm us. But I do know God wanted to say some things specifically to us because identity is a humongous topic. It is a big issue in our society, whether we realize it or not. Everybody's very confused about who they are, and everybody likes to prounce around and be proud about who they supposedly are, but did you know that's not who anybody is if they're not identified by Christ? Because see, we were created by Him, in Him, and through Him. The whole reason you and I are here is for Him, and the whole reason that we are who we are is because He loved us so much that He made us, formed us, shaped us, and molded us into His image. For some of you, you go, yeah, I know that, Pastor. Some of you are going, what? Because this could be some new concepts for people. There's a society and there's a world out there. And if you're listening online right now, I want you to just get your thinking ears or your thinking going on and your ears opened up. Because if you're a younger generation right now, you're being consumed with lies from the enemy. If you're an older generation, you've probably been told some of these things and you know where you're coming from. But the young are being inundated at the age of 5th grade into who and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. It's opposite of what the Word of God says. And mamas and grandmas and aunties, hear me and listen to me. If you can't grab this for yourself, I need you to then teach the younger generation, because the world is going to teach them, or we will teach them. And I want to be the one to teach my children and my children's children the what the Word of God says about who they are and where they fit in and why they are the way they are and how to overcome those things inside of our flesh man that want to scream and lie to us and tell us that's who we are. And so this is what we're going to get into this time around. Many of us as women have a hard time understanding who we are ourselves. So it's hard for us to teach somebody else who we are. Many of you probably look at Pastor Jess and go, you're so confident. I've heard that many, many, many times. You're so confident. You really just don't care. You just do what you need to do. And it's like, yeah, but I've had to, that was not something that was always. I was in a very abusive relationship in my high school years. It was a mental abuse, and I became somebody who literally didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know what was my purpose here on earth. I didn't know why I was even special. My parents would say, I'm special. This person would tell me how dumb I was. Then I would go to school, and all of my teachers would tell me how dumb I was. And all of a sudden, you start to believe, and you take on a perception and an image of what you're being told. And I had to, when I got out of those abusive relationships and those unhealthy things, I had to like re-teach and change my stinking thinking. Have you heard that saying? I've had to change who I was, and it took me some time. I literally had to sit in my little apartment by myself many times and get into the Word, because the lies that I would hear from that ex-boyfriend or those horrible people that were in my life and all those friends that were ungodly, and they would tell me these horrible things, they would come back and they would rush in, and I would look at myself in the mirror and my image would not be what other people saw, like my parents, but I saw the image of what I saw. Oh, I'm ugly. Oh, this isn't good enough. Oh, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I have moles on my face. These are the things that we go through as girls and we don't talk about.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. But yet God says, would you stop it?
Yeah.
And He really got into me. And He said, if I formed you, if I made you, if I created you, when you talk about you, you are hurting me. Because I don't make junk. I don't make things to be looking all the same. I like the uniqueness of you. You see, I like the way I placed you and what I did for you. I like who you are. I like what you carry, because I put those things and those desires inside of you. I molded and I shaped you a certain way because, listen, He knew Dan would like it. You know what I'm saying? Because God made us for our husbands. He made us for himself, but we are beautiful to the men in our lives. If you have a godly husband who loves you and he tells you every day you're pretty, stop saying to him, no, I'm not. Because that is a lie from the enemy. And we do that. And our little girls are listening. And our grandchildren are listening. And they're going to pick it up. And they're going to go, oh, I'm not pretty enough. Oh, I'm fat. I have to stop. Girls, I have to stop myself because I say I'm fat all the time. And you would probably look at me and be like, are you stinking kidding me? Well, for me, I know my mother, where is it? But for me, I've had to put certain clothes away. And so I'm not happy that I don't get to wear the clothes that I used to be able to wear. You know, all of us have our own demons. All of us have our own images of ourselves. All of us see ourselves a certain way. So we can't judge each other on where that's at. But what I want to say to you today is that we have to start taking some things off and putting some new things on.
Come on.
Because if we say we're Christians, if we say we love God, if we say we're his daughters, then we need to begin to act like who we are and not what the world and what ourselves and the people in our past have shaped and molded us to be. You see, God has a lot for us. Pastor Michelle, why don't you come on up here? And who are we going to stick them on? Okay, Jess, come on up here. Here's a beautiful woman. Jess is our intern. Can you guys say hi to Jess?
Hi, Jess.
She's wonderful. She's amazing. Kim really got sick today, and Jess just came through, man. So here's Jess. Jess, I'm going to stick them all over you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So Jess is woman, okay? She loves me. It'll pull out your pores. Okay, Michelle, just start sticking these things on, okay? All right. And we can find our identity in many things. So let's talk about the different things that we do find our identity in. We can identify in the color of our skin, right? In the generations that have gone before us. Maybe if you're white, you're really confused. You're like, I'm a whole bunch of things. I don't know what I am. I'm just white. But some of you know the genealogies of where you came from, and that's a deep past, and it's a rich blood, and it's beautiful, right? And so we can identify with that, and that becomes something we take on so much that we don't allow what God is saying to us to come through, okay? So it could be the color of our skin. It could be the generations that have gone before us. We can identify with being a woman, or sometimes we can identify with not being a woman. There's gender issues here now in our society. I don't know if I feel like I'm a woman anymore. I don't know if I feel like I'm a man anymore. That's where Kate Jenner came from. And you know, honestly, I feel for these people because it's a lie that they've bought into, and that it's something that they need to understand the identity of who Christ made them to be, which we are going to get into. So we can identify with our gender, our color of our skin, who we are. We can identify with our friends that we hang out with. What kind of people are you hanging out with? What are you becoming? You are what you hang around, right? We can identify with the neighborhood we come from. Oh, I come from a poor neighborhood. Oh, well, I come from, you know, a nice neighborhood over on the south side or the north side. You know, we can identify with the surroundings that we are in. We can identify with our political views. We can identify, I'm either Republican or I'm Democrat or I'm independent, and we can be gung-ho about it, and it begins to shape where we go and what our identity looks like. You see, we can identify with our past. Maybe some horrible things have happened and you've held on to it and you carry that throughout your whole entire life. That's what Breaking Free is for. If you need it, sign up, because I'm telling you, they're going to help you break those things off. Maybe you're identifying with your now. Maybe you're in a season right now and you don't like the now, and it's making you into an image that you don't even know anymore. You're looking at yourself and going, I don't even feel like I'm important. I don't know who I am. You see, you can be this personal sexual identity. I feel like I'm gay. I feel like, why am I attracted to women when I'm a woman? That I don't want to be that way, but that's how it is. That's how I feel. That's where I'm at. Maybe you identify with your job because you worked so hard to get that job. Maybe you identify as a mother. And because you give everything and you're all for your family and you've lost yourself in that and you don't know outside of that, what are you? Maybe you look at your husband and you identify, I'm a wife, and that's my heart's desire, and that's what I do. You see, all of these things are not necessarily not a part of us or who we are, but these all have to come under the authority and the direction of who Jesus is, and all of these will be directed to what God wants for us. So we can become woman. I'm going to take this off gently. And woman can be proud and beautiful and humble and meek and gracious and kind, and not this whole, you know, feminist, I'm going to fight everything, I hate everyone who doesn't agree with me. What is that, girls? We're getting nowhere with that. Let's be awesome. Let's be nurturers. Let's be who God created us to be. I'm trying to be a man. I want to be me. I want to be a woman. Good. The world is telling us not to. Maybe our income, maybe you don't feel like your income is enough. You know, I want more. I want more. It's not enough. How about you just trust God in that? You stay faithful to your tithe. Listen to the voice of God. Maybe he's telling you to start a business. Maybe he's taking you down new paths. And that image will be directed through him. Maybe your ethnicity and you're black, you're white, you're Mexican. I don't know. You're Asian. Whatever it is that you are, embrace it and love it and be bold with it. But also love the other generations and ethnicities around you. Don't be racist against someone else, but love each other and bring them in, especially your brothers and your sisters. Come on. You see, God, these things have been stolen from us, friends. Maybe you just, your identity is caught up in ungodly friends, and it's time for you to change your friendships. Maybe God is saying, I don't want you to look like that group of people. I want you to look more like me, so you can't look like me as long as you're with them.
Come on. Come on.
And you're going, oh no, Pastor Jess, please don't say that. Well, listen. Today, I think God is challenging us to look at some of ourselves and to redefine our identity. Maybe you are a wife and you're not a good wife. Maybe you really aren't doing all the commandments that God has said. And maybe you need to look at the image of what God wants you to be as a wife. And we have to really look at these and be honest about them. Am I really supporting my husband? Am I really his helpmate? Am I really the one that comes under that mission and is meek and humble in that? Maybe politics has consumed you, especially this last term around. Maybe you've become bitter. Maybe you've become angry. Maybe you're just mad. Listen, where does that come from? God is love and he's at peace and there's nothing that moves him or shakes him. So where is that coming from? It's ungodly, and the image is not of God. You see, all things have to come under him. Your present, where is your image? How do you see yourself when you look in the mirror? What is it you're saying about yourself when we look in the mirror in the morning? Oh, I'm a mess, I'm a hot mess, oh, whatever. Or, you know what? I'm beautiful, and God made me this way, and it's okay. It's okay. And that's where that confidence starts. That's where God says, you know what? You can do it. Maybe it's your job. Your job, your identity's in that, and you leave God out of it. So you separate your relationship with God and the holiness of your relationship with God, and then you don't bring it into your job, and you do things ungodly. And God says, how is that a beautiful image of me? You're not trustworthy. I can't give you more. I can't trust you because you're not being who you need to be. Maybe your sexual identity, maybe you're confused. Listen, maybe you have feelings that you don't want, but they're there, and how do I get rid of them, and how did I become this way, and you know, the world is telling me there's nothing wrong with me, but I just know the more I get closer to God, something's not right. Listen, our sexual identity is a sin against our flesh, but God has overcome those things, and he can help you to overcome these things, but you have to surrender your identity to him. Not to what the world says. Maybe your neighborhood. Maybe you live in a neighborhood where you're all friends and it's been, this is how we do things and this is how I act when I'm around my neighbors. Maybe I'm not gonna get out of my neighborhood. This is all I have. This like little space is all that identifies me and my family that have gone before me. What if God says, quit wrapping your identity up in where you live? And what if I asked you to move? What if I asked you to do something with your neighbors that was outside of your comfort zone? You see, God wants us to be all him and nothing else. What about a mother? Are we looking like a beautiful picture of what God is asking us to be as moms? Are we allowing our careers and the images and the things to come before our children? Are we wanting our own personal desires and pushing our kids to the side because I'm just not interested? You see, maybe our past is defining your identity and your future. And that will hold you back and you will never come into the fullness of who God needs you to be. So we're gonna, thank you, Jess. We're gonna talk about all of these things. We're gonna take these parts. We're gonna take these things that the enemy wants to lie and to consume us with. And we're gonna flip the script on him. And we're gonna shine a light on what God's word says about it. And we're gonna say, oh, hell no, go away. I know who I am, and you do too. That's why you're afraid. And you know what? We're going to face these things head on, and we're going to do them beautifully through the image of who Jesus is, because that's what he's asking and requiring of all of us, not just Pastor Jess, but all of us. So this is what I want. I want to challenge you today to, as we come into this series, to lay aside all of this and to be open to hearing what the Spirit of God is speaking to you on a personal level. Because I can't speak for you. Each of us have our own things that we deal with. But the Holy Spirit can talk to all of us at the same time. Isn't that amazing? And he cares about all of us at the same time. So lay aside all of our old ways of doing things, and let's hear for the voice and the Spirit to reveal himself to us and to allow ourselves to reshape what we thought we were into who we are supposed to be all along. So can we do that together, girls? Okay. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You go, well, I don't feel like a new creation. I don't feel like that. Well, listen, this is, I think, the issue, and this is what I really do want to tackle in this image series, is that feelings are not reality.
Good.
You know, our whole world is, do what feels good. You know, say what you feel. Speak your mind. You know, and they use everything to justify whatever they want to say. But did you know that it takes a bigger person to not say everything you want to say? It takes a bigger person to not do the things you feel, because, you know, if you act out ungodly, you're going to send yourself straight to hell, baby girl. So you need to be careful what you're acting out on. Oh, I'm just going to go sleep around. I'm going to just go dabble into this. I'm going to go, you know, act out into what I feel. I want to try something new, but oh, I still love God. I would challenge you and say, do you? Do you? Because God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if we want to have an image like Christ, then that's going to require some change. I once heard this show, I think it was Frozen, and my kids were watching it, and we're getting to this part, and they're like, people don't change. You know, like these troll people, they sang that part, and every time I'm like, they change. Thank God we change, guys. Like, mom changed. You will hear stories about me later when you're old enough, and I changed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, thank God we change.
Yeah.
And then I just saw another movie that they put out, and people change now all of a sudden. You see, the world doesn't know what they want. It all depends on who's writing whatever and who. Que sera, sera. Well, listen, the word never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, forever. It's consistent, it's trustworthy, and it does require us to change. It's going to get in our face. It's going to irk us the wrong way. It's going to require of us to look at some things inside and go, that's not right. I need to fix that. I need to clean that up. I need to clean up this household here so the Holy Spirit can live and dwell within it. You see, God is asking us to do some new things because it says in his word right here, behold, all things become new. Do we believe that? Yeah. Or is that kind of a hard thought? How do I become new? I feel so unholy. I make so many bad comments. I think so many thoughts, and then I get mad at myself, and then I'm like frustrated with myself, and then what do I do? You know what you do? You repent and you move on. You say, oh, I messed up. I'm so sorry, God. Forgive me. That was a bad thought. And then you know what? I want to challenge you in this quick little tip. Go pray for that person real quick. Because then you can't hate them. Then you can't be mad at them. Then you have to change you. You see, we have to get into the God side of this thing called life. Because life is empty without it. Because the whole purpose of life is him. So we're missing it here. He doesn't just fit into our life. We fit into his. He is our life. He's the whole reason we exist. You see, the enemy will come to kill and steal our identity. It's his whole purpose. It's his whole plan. He studied your facial expressions, your thought patterns. He studied your actions. He knows how to get right to you. He knows how to bug you. He knows how to poke the bear. And you know what happens? Is we give in. And we allow him. We allow him to bug us. We allow him to lie to us. We allow him to reshape our thinking. We allow him in. You see, what a dummy. He goes to Jesus. Let's go there. Matthew 4:11. It's not on the overheads because I have so many scriptures. And girls, we're going to have a Bible study today. Is that okay? Matthew 4:11. He goes to Jesus. And he tempts Jesus himself. First of all, really? Like, what was he thinking? Right? That tells me he's stupid. Like, he's really not a brilliant person, okay? Or demon or angel, whatever, fallen angel. Okay, we're going to go there. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And it says, and Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights after he was hungry, of course, he waits for our flesh man to be a little weak. Because 40 days and 40 nights, you have to be dragging, right? You're probably really hungry. Your insides are eating themselves. And you're probably not the nicest person to be around. This is probably why he was like gone far away from other people. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. If you think that's not biblical. Okay. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. I love Jesus' response. He brings it back. But he answered, he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, he tempted him with the desires of flesh. What is it that our image desires that the enemy is going to bring and put on a silver platter and go, you know you want this. Wow. Your image wants this. You need this. I need. And Jesus says, no, you don't. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge over and the hand shall bear you up, and lest you dash your foot against a stone. So he's trying to push him into using his gifts, right? So what gifts do you have that the enemy dangles over your face and says, ooh, look at that gift. Let's use that for the world. Here, if you just, you know, so many of these singers start out in the role, in the church. Their voices were given to them to praise him. But then, you know, Katy Perry grew up in the house of God. Her parents are pastors. And yet, we throw them into the world where the enemy is dangling the carrot of talent and those things that were given to them for his purpose, and they always say they're gonna use it for his purpose, they never end up doing it, because the enemy consumes you, because he dangles things in front of you. Of course, Jesus is smart of that, and he says in verse 7, and it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And verse 8, again, the devil took him up and exceedingly to the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Really, he thought that was going to be something that Jesus needed, right? He, like, the earth is his footstool. I think the devil completely forgot who he was talking to. But he will dangle success in front of you. He will dangle those things that you want to see. You're going to compare yourself to other people. You're going to see your image as, I want to be like that. Oh, I'm going to desire those things. And the devil's going to come after you. He's going to tempt you so he can steal what the image of God is for you and your true value and where you're supposed to be. And Jesus then says to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God and him only, and you shall serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and they ministered to him. You see, the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Is that going to be you? John 10:10 says, a thief does not come except to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The enemy has made it his life's goal to steal your identity, to steal your children's identity, and to steal the identity of who Christ is within you. But yet, we have given in for far too long, girls. We've bought the lies of the enemy. Every time you speak death over yourself and your image and your family and who you are, you're cursing yourself. So listen, Pastor Jess has to change too. I've got to stop saying what I'm not and start saying what I am. Because the enemy wants me to be reminded on a constant basis of what I'm not. So when I want to go there, I'm going to have to change some things. That means your friends, get around a company of girls that are going to go, whoa, 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 you're beautiful. Knock it off. Stop saying that about yourself. You're going to need to be around people that say, no, pray for your husband. Don't just beat him up all the time with your words. This is why we need the small groups. Thank you, Pastor Sue. Our identity is trying to be stolen from us, and it's up to you if you let him. I was at home one day, and I got a whole bunch of mail. And in the mail, I got a whole bunch of credit cards. Now, if you know me, I do not have a lot of credit cards. I'm very picky about, I only have a certain amount of credit cards. I'm very good with my finances. I had like the best credit score ever. I mean, we were like prided ourselves in it. And all of a sudden, I have like 5 credit cards with my name on them and places I never shop. And I was confused. Where did these come from? And as I started calling the places, they said, "You opened them up." No, I did not. Yes, you did. No, I did not. And my identity was stolen from me. When that happened, it took time away from my life. It took days away from my life. It took my joy away. I'll tell you, I wanted to like curse and beat them up in their face. Like I did picture myself finding this woman because I figured it had to be a woman. And I'm gonna punch her in her face. And sorry, I'm Pastor Jim, that came out right now. And it's not my sweet mom, it's my dad. And I blame you, no, just kidding. So I was getting upset and the Holy Spirit said, no. I'll recover everything back if you stay in love and faith. And I said, okay, fine. And I went through the process, but it took a lot. And I just had to freeze my credit. Did you know you could freeze your credit? You should. They tell me everybody should do it now because there's so much identity theft out there. So anyways, and if you freeze it, just know your PIN code because if you forget it, too bad. You ain't ever getting your credit unfrozen. Okay, seriously. So I should probably put that in the safe actually in case something happens. Okay, so here it was, everything was taken from me. I'm not kidding, it was days and days and days. Every day off was like 8 hours on the phone. I'm calling the IRS, I'm calling everybody so that they don't file in my name for my taxes. I'm calling every person in the whole world, you know, and it was such a robbery on my behalf. They robbed me. They took my image on and they took my identity and got away with it. And I was so mad about that. I mean, they bought themselves an Apple computer. They spent $1,500 on glasses at Sunglass Hut. Are you kidding me? Those things break. Like, you will lose them. So I was just like blown away at some of the things. They went and opened up Target credit cards. The police didn't want to help me. Nobody wanted to help me. I was so frustrated. And I said, "You're my judge. You're the one that goes before me. I pray that this person will get caught." So guess what happened? I got something in the mail with her name on it. And I thought, ooh, I'm gonna get her now. And do you know what I've done? Nothing. Because I just said, "You know what, God, you know this person." And she was wrong. And I asked for her salvation. But I'm not gonna go after her because I don't wanna waste any more time on this foolish lie of what the enemy has taken from me. Because I stopped it and she can't even go there anymore. So they do sell your identity, by the way. So be careful because they just pass it along. And when the Lord talked to me about it, he said, it's the same thing happens with the devil. He takes your identity, he strips who you are, he falsifies your personality and your character, and then you give into it. Because you're going after trying to redeem so much back, you turn into what you went after. Instead of staying in me and not worrying about what he does. The accuser will always be there, but I'm the one who defends you. But yeah, you go after this false image, daughters. We all do it. And we find ourselves in a place that we don't know who we are anymore. And why am I so miserable? And why does depression have a hold on me? And why am I up and down? And why, God, is my image not what I want it to be? Because he says, you're listening to the false identity of what the enemy has stolen from you. And you are comparing yourself to something that is not you. God is saying, it's time to take back your identity. Jesus paid the ultimate currency for us. Identity theft is an illegal use of someone else's personal information, especially in order to obtain a money or a credit. And you know what? Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. It was already done all those years ago so that we wouldn't have to lose our self-worth, so we wouldn't have to lose our value in who we are, so we don't have to lose our identity in him. It's in him that we were created like him. See, Jesus came to redeem our identity. So the enemy came to steal it, and Jesus came to redeem it. Everything he did was for you and I. Everything he did was to reconnect us back to him because it was all taken in the beginning. And yet he redeems all things back to him. And so, girls, Jesus is coming, and he came. He came in the form of a babe, just like we did. He loves us so much that he wanted to experience everything. Deity came out of heaven to come be like us, to feel rejection, to feel hurt and pain, to know what it was to have a job. Did you know he had a real job? He was a carpenter. Do you know that he had feelings? He loved his mother and his father and his brother. He loved people, and he sat, and he wanted to love on people, but yet he also got angry when he went to the temple and he flipped the tables. You see, he understands what you're going through. You might go, oh, he didn't go through this. No, he went through it all. He wanted to experience it all. He wanted to feel the pain of it all. He wanted to know it in its depths so that when he went to the cross to pay for it all, we could go to the throne room of God and we could be cleansed and washed and take on a new image of Jesus because he paid the currency, because he paid the price of what the enemy tried to steal. You see, it's already done, but we aren't walking in it. It's already been taken care of, but we aren't consuming it. C.S. Lewis talks about in Mere Christianity, it's quite a book, hard one to read, but he does have some profound things in there, and this is what he says. Now, the whole offer which Christianity makes is this, that we can, if we let God have his way, come to share in the life of Christ. If we do, we shall then be sharing a life which was begotten, not made, which always exists and will always exist. Christ is the Son of God. If we share in this kind of life, we also become sons of God. We shall love the Father as he does, and the Holy Ghost will arise in us. He came into this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life he has. By that which I call a good infection, he infected us with his goodness. I love that. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else, to become more like Jesus. So where does our identity start to recover? So when I lost my identity and the thieves came to steal it, where did I start? I had to start making phone calls. I first started with the police, right? Where do we start our identity on the spiritual realm? When the enemy has taken it from us, when you've been beat up by someone, when you have been told horrible things, when you've been molested and raped, when you were alone in that room, Jesus saw you, he knew you, he had a different plan for you. You see, where do I start? How do I come out of this? And you say, I don't know where to start. It's very simple. You ready? It's like the hardest but the simplest thing to do. You look to Jesus because he is your identity. Our identity is only in him. So the closer we get to Jesus, the more that we actually know who we are. You see, the further you get from Jesus, the less you know about who you are. Your image is going to be switched and changed and flipped on you, and you won't know who you are anymore. And you can look in the mirror and go, I don't know this girl. But the closer you get to Jesus, the more you look in that mirror and you go, yeah, I'm good. You know, one thing about men, I don't know about you guys, but they can stare in the mirror for a long time and they don't have an issue with anything that they see. Do you notice that? Like, seriously, like their hair can look bad. I'm like, it's fine. I don't care. Like, I look good. I mean, my boys, I see Micah, he's like checking himself out. I'm like, seriously, it's already starting? I mean, men do not have an issue with how they look. Why is that? Because they know that they're the man, right? But us girls, we all have an issue with how we look. Every single one of you can pick something apart about yourself right now. And you're judging me right now. Oh, look at that dress, or look at that shirt. Look, oh, you checked me out. Don't lie. I know you did. I wonder what her watch is. It tells me how many steps I took, and then I could be mad at myself later on. You see what I'm saying? Like, we check each other out. And my image can't be what I think it should be. My image can only be who God is. So if I'm in him and I'm from him and I'm of him and I understand him and I have a relationship with him, then I can look like him. I can step into who he is and I can take off the old me and put on the new me because my image is in who Jesus Christ is. Christ is. Because he paid a price so long ago that my image doesn't have to be a false identity or something stolen from me, but it can be something that I can embrace and I can actually become. And it's not undoable, girls. It's so simple and it's very doable. Because the closer we get to Jesus, the more that we begin to reveal our own identities. My identity is found in him when I understand him. My identity is of my Father. Philippians 2, 5, let's go there. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Stop there for a second. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wait, what do you mean? Like, Jesus and me, like, same? Like, Jesus and me on the same playing field? Jesus and me, yeah. That's a trip, right? But I'm a hot mess. I'm a sinner. It doesn't matter. He came for all that. And he wants you to be his daughter. And in a healthy relationship, and I understand many of you don't always have healthy relationships. So then we have a hard time identifying with this wonderful God in heaven because we don't have a good father situation or maybe a good mother situation. A lot of women tell me they don't want to come to women's ministry because they didn't like their mother and they don't like to be around other women. These are identities and lies that the enemy has put in and worked very hard to separate and tear apart. That God actually set family up. Did you know that? God actually put the father figure to be the not the weaker vessel. We are the weaker vessel. The men are not the weaker vessel. And that's okay, girls. Yes. It's okay. This feminist movement says, well, I'm not a weaker vessel. Well, you know what? Reality is you are, whether you say you aren't or aren't. Let them take their place. They're going to take care of you better when you do. And they're going to be better men and step into who God's called them to be. Your job is not to change them. Your job is to be who you've been called to be. And you are special and you were bought with a price and you are valuable. And we are in him and we are of the same mind of him. You see, God loves us. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, now it's going to explain Jesus, did not consider it robbery. That word in Hebrew says to hold on to. He did not consider it a privilege or a power. And it says to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He wasn't trying to be in the limelight. Only Jesus, right? Taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient at the point of death. Even the death of the cross, verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Right there it's saying everyone knows who he is. The atheist, they will say, oh, there is a God. They will bow. Maybe too late, but they will bow. It says, even underneath, those in hell know. Demons and Satan himself know that he is God. You see, for us to deny Christ is foolishness, and it's temporary. You will eventually, every knee will bow. And those on earth and under heaven, verse 11, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God, our Father. So here's this Jesus, right? We're in him and he is in us. We reflect him. My image looks like him. There was this beautiful price paid by him for me and for you and for you. And just because you're in the way back for you, Jesus said that I'm not a respecter of persons. He came for us all. This journey to death, this journey to redemption, this all of it is for you. All of it. Yet we don't live in the image of Christ. We walk around and we don't live according to what his word says. We don't live according to what our image says we're supposed to do. We listen to the world and we say it's okay to do this, and we compromise and we compromise and we compromise, and we become something we've never been called to be. And I wonder if heaven just breaks. What are you doing? Don't you know when you dress half naked that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? that you're supposed to live modestly, that you don't have to do all that to be special in my sight? Don't you know that you don't have to worry about your weight so much? At least get healthy so you take care of your temple. But it's not about the appearance of it, because I love you no matter what. Don't you know that those things that go on in your head, those thoughts of you not being good enough and your self-worth and your self-value was all not what I say to you, daughter, but it's what the liar says to you, and you're believing the lie. You see, he came to take all those lies and to abolish them, strip them, take them off of you, to clear your mind. Those feelings that you feel and you give into, oh, I just love him so much. So you're saying you love that boyfriend so much, even more than God. He requires us to change. What path and what image are you walking with? Who are you? Are all of these things defining you? Or is Jesus defining you? You see, I reflect him. You reflect him. You mirror Christ. What? That's not good. I'm not a good mirror for him. I'm not a good reflection. Well, you know what? We all feel that way. There's many days that I'm like, yeah, that was a fail. Fail day. I had a fail moment, totally fail moment. And you know what? I have to go to the throne room and be like, God, I'm so sorry. I know I hurt your heart. I know I disappointed you today in what my speech was. I know I disappointed you today in what my thoughts were towards that person. I know I disappointed you today in my actions. And he sits and he talks and he deals with me on those things. But see, when we get to that point that we allow him into every piece of our day, every moment of our day, every part of our personality, every thought in our head, all of a sudden we mirror him beautifully. And even when those things come out, the Holy Spirit will go, don't go there. Something happened to me the other day and I heard, be nice. That's all I heard. Be nice. I'm like, all right. So like, I was like, be nice. And I was getting irritated again. And he's like, be nice. And I just laughed because the Holy Spirit knows me and he knows that I just need that little like, remember who you are. Remember, be nice. Sometimes I wonder how many times we ignore the be nice and we just go into who our flesh is and what the devil says that we can be. And oh, it's my right. You don't have any rights. You were bought with a price. Your right is to serve God with all of your heart and all of your life. That's your right. Your right is to give everything, to take up your cross and to follow him and to become who he's asked you to be. That's your right. Your right is that you get to live on this earth and be this amazing Christian that he loves you so much and that everything was bought with a price. Your right is to be his daughter and to mirror him and reflect him beautifully. That's your right. Yes. See, the enemy's gonna lie to you and tell you the opposite, but you have to remind yourself of who you are and what your right is. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Amplified. I love the Amplified, it's the woman's version. And it says, we all with unveiled face continually seeing it as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You guys, we're being transformed. Don't beat yourself up on this journey. Don't beat yourself up. He's not. So don't do it to yourself. You are being transformed from glory to glory. We are being changed on a daily basis. Those things that formed your image before, those things that had you locked up and bound before, will no longer be issues for you. You will step up out of that miry clay and you will move on into new things and you will become new. Those things won't be hard anymore. You won't have the issues you used to have. The more you get closer to God, the more you allow that self-image to look like him and to mirror him like a beautiful picture. I said to the Lord, I said, God, what woman in the Bible had an identity crisis? And he was like, well, where do you want to start? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, what do you want me to start? And he said, go to Eve. So started reading Adam and Eve, and I was blown away. I sat there all day yesterday crying and weeping over this story, just like, and then I wrote like 5 messages outside of this topic because there's so much to learn. But we're going to go there today in Genesis. Turn with me into Genesis 1. We're going to pick it apart. We're going to find out our image because this is all where it began. We are not made from apes. It's actually new studies out on how we possibly cannot even be formed from apes because apes' eyes are different. And anyways, there's so much, it's just stupid. But, and Darwin, you know, he did deny his own theory, by the way, at the end. So I don't know why we still teach it. So I just want you all to know that's all been squashed scientifically, okay? Even though the word, we already knew that that was the way it was. If you want to get into those things, we can get into them later because that's totally a whole nother topic. But here it is. Genesis 1, I'm going to go to verse 26, okay? And I'm going to take it apart, so we're going to go through it slowly. It says, Genesis 1, then God said, I love this, let us make man in our image. Why does he say us in our? Did you know that the Trinity was very present already? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love you, Mom. You're like preaching over here to Michelle. She's giving her more theology. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Us. Let us make man in our own image. That's pretty cool, right? So before we were even here, he said, I need them. I want them. Let's make them. That's pretty awesome. He says, let's make man in our own image. Hebrew for our own image, check this out, is a very masculine word. And it's called tesalim. It means to cut out of. He is to make us, to cut us out of him. That's pretty cool. I want to be cut out of Jesus. Yep, thank you, of God. Yes, thank you very much. According to our likeness. Likeness in the Hebrew is demoth. It's a pattern or a resembling. That means you are cut out, pattern, or you are to resemble God. But yet, I don't feel that way. Remember, it's not about how we feel. It's about who we are. Okay, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit got together and said, let's make man in our image. Let's cut him out of us and let's let him resemble us. Let's let him mirror us. Let's let him be like us. That's big. How many of you were told you're a nobody? You aren't wanted. You're not enough. You're not good enough at that. You're not more than a, listen, let no one tell you that you are not wanted or not good enough. Because you look like your father. You don't look like your earthly father. You look like your heavenly father. And the enemy, this is one of the things the enemy has worked generation after generation after generation to take the father out of the homes. So you have no idea how to connect with your heavenly father, who's the only one who knew you in your mother's womb. He ordained you before you were, he predestined you. Did you know that? You are that special. You go, I came here all messed up. I was a product of rape. Well, guess what? He needed you. He had to get you here. And he's going to use you because you have a purpose and you mirror him and you look like him. And no matter how you came in this world is not how you have to leave this world. He came in a stable with donkeys around a whole bunch of poop. But yet he left the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, how you come is not going to be your existence. You mirror your father. Don't let anyone tell you the lie that you are not worth it, that you are not valuable enough. I don't care what your daddy said to you, what he did to you in private, what he told you. I don't care because your heavenly father wants me to tell you, you are loved, you are worth it, you are valuable. He cut you out of himself. He molded you, he shaped you, he ordained you. You see, you are bigger and better than you know. Your image is not your own. Your image is not your known. This is going to be our journey of silencing the lies. You're going to have to silence lies. Some of you have lived with these lies your whole life. You're old now and you're going, wow, I literally have not dealt with some of these lies. You need to deal with them. because you have to silence the lies in order to embrace God's truth of who you are. In this verse, we're going to go on in verse 26, and it says, let them have dominion. Wait. So he created us, and then now he's going to put on us some things. He says, you have dominion. Do you know what that means? You have rule. You have reign. What? I didn't feel like I have any rule. Nobody listens to me. I feel like I'm just the person in the house that nobody listens to. Do you ever feel like that as a mom? Like, nobody really listens to me. Like, what is happening around here? I told Dan when he preached this weekend how to hear from the voice of God. You know, his points were... His points were the word and the spirit. You hear by the word and the spirit. And I said, you forgot one. Your wife is the third one. You should have put your wife is the third way that you hear from God. So anyways, that was just for free. Okay. So he lets them have dominion, verse 26, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over every earthly thing that is creeping and that creeps on the earth. Let's stop there. We're talking about Adam and Eve and what approached her and what did she give into? A serpent, a snake.
That's right.
But wait, she had dominion over it.
That's right.
We're going to get there next week. We're going to go there. But I just wanted to throw that at you. What in the world did she give to that little slithery, sneaky snake that she had dominion and reign over? She did not take her authority that she was given by God. We'll go there. That's a whole message in itself, huh? Okay. And we carry the power and the authority and the reign, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Now this is a much happier part, right? Like, now that I know this, this is amazing. The image of God he created in him, male and female. What? Then what about these people that don't know who they are? They don't understand who they are. It's not that they know that they know that they're supposed to be a girl or a boy. It's that they don't understand how they were created. And the people that are raising them do not understand it either. There are generations after generations of people that have walked away from God and walked away from the image of who we are in Christ. He didn't just come for us Christian people. He came for the lost. He came for those that don't know who they are. That's why for us to go judging and being these like, oh, well, this makes me sick. Don't say stupid things like that. These people are hurting and lost and confused and do not understand that they were created by God and that he wants to restore and redeem everything back that they've been given because he loves them so much. So instead of us being mad about it, and it does make us mad because we understand the truth, right? We get it. But we have to get into our God side and go, God, I pray for deliverance. I pray for open minds. I pray, God, for a new revelation to fall upon them. I pray that those lies would be stripped from them. And you begin to speak prayers and speak the word because that's where the third dimension, you speak it and it comes into play. You see, nobody's praying for them. You might be the ones that need to pray for them because he created them man or woman. This is all in the beginning, guys. He set it up, and do you see how the enemy has so twisted this? I can't even watch cartoons anymore without the homosexual thing being an issue. I was watching Storks, thinking this is the funniest, greatest movie ever, and then right at the end, I'm like, ah! Oh my gosh! Kids, that is not of God. They're throwing it in everywhere. So we have to be a voice for God. And you're gonna have to take some stands. Not that you don't love, we don't accept though, because that is not who God created us to be. Maybe you're in here struggling with these issues. It's okay, I want you to know you're in a safe place and we love you. And I want to help you understand who God made you to be. Because just as I was a sinner, separated from God, I slept around, I did all those things, I was a hot mess. I needed to be redeemed back into the image that God put inside of me and who I was, and that was a process. It took time, and it took the love of God and my mind to have to be renewed and changed. And remember what I said to you in the very beginning of this. We have to lay aside those things which we are used to and get into what God says about them. So this is a flip the script moment for you. Okay? Maybe nobody ever told you that you're awesome, but God has a plan to help you get out of these things which you are not created to do or be. Verse 28, then God blessed them. Ooh, I love that. Who wants a blessing? I'll take it. God said, be fruitful and multiply. You know what else I'm seeing? The younger generation does not want children. Maybe one, maybe. That's what they tell me, maybe. And I went, what? But they're such a gift. What do you mean? It's like a beautiful thing. This is what God created us to be. You see, the enemy is lying. He's taking, he's deceiving, and God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. Let me tell you why. Because if you have a godly self-image of who you are, you understand that you mirror him and that you're the beauty of him, and then you have babies and you teach them. You're the beauty of Christ. You mirror him. How many more people are going to populate the earth and tell others that are lost and dying how wonderful they are? There's going to be a revival that happens. And Rock Church, I want to be a part of this. Yes. And God says to be fruitful and multiply. It is not my will, but it is his will. Let's get outside of ourselves. I talked to somebody just the other day. I said, why do you not want kids? Are you being selfish? Leave it to me to just be blunt, right? And they go, well, I guess. And I'm like, you are. Because you just want your career and your little life. And but I'll tell you, when you get old, you're going to have an empty life. Because there's going to be no one there to love you. There's gonna be no one there to do life with. You're not gonna see the beauty of a family around you. And they were like, and I said, well, just chew on that a little bit. And then I said, you call yourself a Christian? I did go there. And they were like, yes. And I said, well, God says to be fruitful and multiply. So what do you do with that verse? You see, this is not our life. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. Our image is him. It is not us. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue. Subdue it. Do you know what that means? To tread on, to put it under our feet. We dominate it. You have dominion over the flesh of the sea, the birds, the air, and everything living that moves on earth. Wow. You're pretty important. You're pretty special. He loves you. You know your little dogs that you love, you're doing so well by loving them. You're doing good. You know, if you ran over those, I don't know, squirrels or whatever, and you just keep going and you have no issue, you know, like maybe you should like pray or something and then move on, okay? Like, because God says to take care of, to put under. But out of all those verses, I wanted to touch some things. In these verses that we just talked about, it says to make more like you, we have to duplicate ourselves, to reflect ourselves, to mirror ourselves after Christ. That means, number one, we are wanted. I learned that in these scriptures. Number two, that I have authority and power. You have authority and power. God gave that to you. That we are created like our Father. I don't have to look like what I think I should look like, or maybe I just look like him because I'm a part of him. You see, then we are, our gender is chosen by God. Did you know that? Yep. Sometimes you've said, why did he make me a woman? Well, because he needs you. That's who you're supposed to be. So find out what he needs from it. He wants us more. And he wants us blessed. He wants all of us and he wants us blessed. That's what I learned. So girls, take your place. Take your place, daughter. Be who your image is, Jesus. Be who he created you to be, Jesus. Because he loves you and he formed you. I think I might stop there. I have this whole other part about who we are and how we came from the rib, but we'll talk about that next week. Good. So the one point today will be, what's our identity? Our identity is in Jesus. Your identity is in him, girls. So when you walk out of here and you want to pick on yourself in the mirror, you're picking on Jesus. Yep. When you want to walk out of here and hate the dimples on your thighs, oh, I get it. For me, all the way down to my knees. I'm just saying, that's a dimple for Jesus. What can I do, right? Stop being the girl that wants a curly hair, that wants a straight hair, whatever. Everybody wants something else that they don't have. Just be you. Enjoy you, okay? I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to enjoy me. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with them." Guys, he already prepared it before we got here, that we get to walk in it while we are here. That's pretty awesome. You know what that tells me? That he already knew you would be here, and that he could use you, and that he could love you, and that you are part of him. He prepared the way. It's like when you know your kids are coming. When my mom does family night, it ain't no joke. Like, she prepares all day. There is like food coming out of our ears from every smell of the house. She prepares because the kids are coming home. We're all gonna be together. You see, what is God doing for us? He's preparing a way, a path, so that the image of him can succeed and be blessed and take dominion and rule and reign in the authority of Jesus Christ. Girls, you are not your own. So when you walk out of here today, begin to put on a new you and take off the old you and say, I am a reflection and a mirror of Jesus. I am who he said I am. I was bought with a price, and this melt of mine, you have to stop in the name of Jesus. I will not gossip. I will not lie. I will not tell untruths. I will begin to speak life. I will begin to prosper. I will begin to prophesy over my family the good things that God is doing. You see, it is all in us. We just have to walk in it and be who God created us to be and begin to strip off and to put on Jesus. You were bought with a price. You are a royal priesthood. So girls, act like it. Act like it. Sometimes you just need someone to get in your face and say, knock it off. Stop it. Quit being so stupid. See, Pastor Jess calls stupid. Absolutely, you are stupid. But I am stupid too. Because I have stinking thinking. And I need God to go, would you stop it? Knock it off. You are better than that. When the enemy wants to come and lie and pick at you and tear your family apart and bring division between you guys, you stand in your authority. You take dominion over that. Say, get the hell out of here, Satan. You're not coming between my family, my marriage, my children. You will not take my health. And girls, become who you have been created to become. Yes. Stop laying down and letting the enemy lie to you, giving you a false image of who you are. Tap into who God is, and you will find out who you are. I feel this way. I want to act on these things. It's so hard to deny my flesh. We'll get into all that. We'll get into all that. Because that's part of our image, denying the flesh. There are things we have to do on our part. So this is the good, fun message, okay? But we're going to get into some things that we're going to have to change. Some things that we're going to have to think about. Some things that God is going to require of us to go, ooh, I need to tweak that about myself. I need to work on that. We're going to talk about insecurity. We're going to talk about rejection. We're going to talk about unforgiveness. These are all things that bring a nasty image of Jesus to the people around us and to ourselves. See, God wants to take those things out of us so he can be put in us and fill us. If you didn't get the empty vessels message from Thursday night, go back and listen to it, because God wants us to be empty vessels so he can pour into us and do what his word demands of us. You see, God has a purpose for you. You girls are so special. Did you guys get something from the Lord today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.